Every true football fan knows that the NFL season truly begins after the Super Bowl champion has been crowned, and the Ringer NFL feed will keep you on top of all the news still happening around the league and heading into the 2024-25 season. I'm Sheil Kapadia, and every Monday and Friday, Ben Solak and I deliver sharp takes and debates on the draft, free agency, training camp, and beyond on Extra Point Taker.
And every Wednesday, we'll have Dual Threat, where Stephen Ruiz and yours truly, Nora Princiati, dive deep into all of the big offseason developments, with Ringer favorites Austin Gale and Lindsey Jones stopping by occasionally to share their expert football analysis.
Subscribe to the Ringer NFL Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget to follow the Ringer NFL on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X at Ringer NFL.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
On today's episode of One Shining Podcast, we are pouring one out for Coach Calipari. We are officially going to be Calipari's guys today, Coach Cal's guys, and we're going to do our best to, do a postmortem on the era of John Calipari. These are things and news that had just kind of rolled in late last night. We woke up this morning on a Monday morning of the national championship game and decided we need to talk about John Calipari going to Arkansas and what is the future of Big Blue Nation. So myself, Kyle Mann, we got a fun show. Kyle, sitting over here, he's ready to go. He didn't even have a microphone, so I'll do it for myself. We got a jam-packed show, but first, Woody Durham.
He takes the timeout. They're out of timeout. Technical foul. Technical foul.
Welcome back to One Shining Podcast. It is Monday morning before the national championship game tonight. I am joined by Cal Man, and we should be talking about...
Did you just call me Cal Man? Has he got Cal on the brain?
Maybe you are Cal Man, because we need you right now to explain to us what's happening with John Calipari. In case you missed the news, John Calipari, after 15 years at Kentucky, is going to be reportedly the head coach in Fayetteville for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It is the new Big Three. It is Jerry Jones, it is Bill Clinton, and it is Tyson Chicken. That is what got John Calipari to Arkansas. We will talk about that. But first and foremost, let's start with Camelot and Kentucky. Kyle Mann, you are a Kentucky man. You know what goes on at Camelot. Your first impressions, your first reactions, we're all reeling in the college basketball world right now.
I got the news started to sort of like simmer and spread around, just trickle. You get the little preliminary, like, surely not kind of text. You know how that works?
It's
like
be.
You start getting those.
No, it can't be.
I start getting those from people who know. And then increasingly it starts trickling up to the, you know, like everybody, it starts to solidify and become like a reality. And we were chilling on our Sunday, gearing up for the national
Sunday
championship.
Sunday fun day, yeah.
And it's just a very in Cal style to sort of like, he has that same LeBron marketing energy where it's like, you know, this event that doesn't involve me, I'm going to become the main story. I don't
right.
know. But yeah, it started to sort of like crystallize over the course of the day yesterday and then obviously become something that seemed like a reality. My initial reaction to it was, I said on this show, I'd like kind of emotionally accepted that like the Cal era was probably not going to end well. And I'd kind of gotten to that point during the course of this season. And then when they didn't end up making a run, it ended worse than I even could have thought this year. I didn't expect the Oakland thing. Like I thought they could lose, definitely. But me personally, I kind of had a reaction of just a little bit of a numbness, honestly, where I was like, oh, okay. I didn't, you know, when Patino left when I was a kid, that was like one of the worst days of my life. I remember that because we had just gone to the national championship game and I loved Ron Mercer and all those guys. When Tubby left, it was shocking. It was like, oh, yeah, this is over. But when you look back at those guys, their 10 years, it's like, you know, they both stayed about, you know, Rick really wasn't here in Kentucky all that long in the grand scheme of things. And when you look back, although it felt like an eternity when you were a kid, I guess you get that thing where everything just feels longer. But with Cal, you mentioned this, that he stayed and kind of had two lives. There's been this sort of like joke among Kentucky fans that, like, you know, we usually have like an icon of a coach and then we have a pretty good coach and then we have sort of a disaster of a coach that's happened a few different times. You know, Eddie Sutton was a good coach, but he had a lot of like kind of personal issues and couldn't quite ever get it off the ground. And then they had the Emory package scandal where, go look it up, kids. And then, you know, and then they get Patino, and then they get Tubby, who was pretty good, and then Billy Gillespie. And then we start over with Cal, and Cal kind of stayed around and had his own falling apart phase. And there are a lot of reasons for that we can get into and kind of dissect his legacy. But overall, I think UK fans wanted him gone. I mean, I think the breakup had emotionally happened, and optimism wasn't high, so I'm not surprised that this change happened.
He came in and he was selling the dream, and I think that Kentucky was all in on the dream. The Calipari, one and done. We get you to the NBA. We get you the money. We get you what you deserve. These kids deserve these NBA contracts. But before they get those NBA contracts, they're going to have to come to Lexington, Kentucky, and buy into Kentucky basketball. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, that first group of guys that really captured the attention of America. I mean, they were the biggest stars around. I mean, John Wall had a song. John Wall had a dance. John Wall, it turns out it was DeMarcus Cousins' dance, but it was a moment in time, and John Calipari was the face of it. And he was the face of, like, we bring an outsider into the blue blood world, and now he's taken over the blue bloods in a new, innovative way. And he's being as honest as anyone is about the business of it all. He's like, look, I'm a Nike guy. We got Nike kids, and they're coming here for 1 year, and we're shepherding them to the next level.
Yeah.
And you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to have a great time. And I think 7 year windows in coaching is real. And I think for Calipari, the first 7 years was a honeymoon stage.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, 2015 turns out it was like the peak moment, the apex mountain, so to speak. John Calipari, the platoon system, who can beat this team? We're undefeated. We're looking at the 76 Hoosiers and we're staring them down the barrel. And then in comes, you know, this five out offense, Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, and you know, the rest is history. That was the moment where I think it tilted into the second 7 year window, and the honeymoon period was over, and you were just like trying to survive Cal, and you'd already heard all the sales pitch, and you're like, we know what the snake oil is.
Yeah.
And we're over it.
There's a lot of like inflection points where things kind of perfectly overlapped in good and bad ways. In good ways, Kentucky was at a point where, you know, the clutching of the pearls, the dear old alma mater, we don't pay anybody. That's the public stance that we toe the line and put on that face.
Everybody puts on that face. Welcome to Blue Bloods.
Yeah. And the swagginess and stuff, like, you know, you hear about like how rappers love Ric Flair or rappers love, like Cal had a lot of credibility in that, like, bravado, like we go and claim wealth. Like we're going to destroy the American, like, you know, the good old boy network of that are trying to keep you guys out of generational wealth. And Cal sold that to families, sold that to moms, and it worked. And he wasn't lying. I mean, he went in there and he was like, I'm going to play, you know, a style at the time. Again, we'll talk about style, but you could see why he was so appealing to families when he would go into homes and say, like, come with me. I mean, he had that famous Marcus Teague quote when he was like, all lined up to go to Louisville, where he was like, you know, he was like, I don't care where he's committed to. If I go in there, he's coming with me. That was his that was his arrogance and bravado. And it was awesome when they were winning. I mean, you're talking about overlapping, like in the beginning. The fact that Wall and Cousins, you know, and Eric Bledsoe and Daniel Orton, who had been from a previous class, but was a good player who should have stayed, but he,
Patrick Patterson
being there. Yeah. I just think the fact that Wall, who was like, I always kind of think of them as like slam players, guys who have that like mixtape level popularity, which
everyone knew John Wall. Even if you didn't really know basketball, you're like, yeah, there's this kid, John Wall, that's apparently supposed to be good. And then oh, wow, he's going to Kentucky. Yeah. And oh, wow, he's dunking on people off the break. And we're like, this is what point guards do. Now, Derek was obviously like the first step. Derek Rose, obviously, and he was with Cal, but they were outsiders. It was like, I got this five-star kid from Simeon to have this blue-collar mentality. But now Cal's an insider, but he's still bringing these kids from the outside inside. And that was like the genius of it all. And everyone's like, Kentucky, what do we do with this?
Well, Cal was kind of like Will Wade before. Like, it'll be interesting to see what Will Wade's next Pokemon kind of phase is, because that's how he was treated back then. And I think the way that cheating and rules have sort of evolved now have us looking at he's just been kind of washed clean, which is another conversation for the coaches that we could possibly talk about, like for the next move. But I just think that for him to kick down his era at Kentucky, it was scripted. We always talk about scripts on this show. It was scripted perfectly. Like for him to come out of the gate with John Wall in this slam cover, Sports Center highlights, we're athletic, you know, for him to kick the door down with that was crazy. And then, you know, he puts together a run that's really impressive. Four Final Fours, five Elite Eights. Like he comes in and times couldn't have been better. I also think on the, and you could speak to this, I think that like the machinery behind the scenes was really on his side during that time. Like, you know, you didn't quite, the clutch era hadn't begun. I think that that's another thing that kind of pivots at 2015. But his first few runs, man, I told Kentucky fans during that era, when it was the Knight team, when it was AD, obviously, you know, 14 turned around and then you get 15, which is like an all-time team if they could have sealed the deal. I would tell my fellow fans, I'd be like, dude, it's never going to get better than this. And I don't know that I'll ever personally see an era that will be as good as that in my life in terms of the marketing, the staff he had in place. I don't think that I'm going to see that in my lifetime. Like, you know, Patino in the late 90s and then Cal, maybe I'll get to see another one. I hope so. But it's going to be hard to replicate what he did.
Yeah. And the World Wide West of it all, I think, was the other impact. I mean, Jay-Z going to the locker room saying, you know, what's 50K to an MF-er like me? Can you please remind me? Like these moments, these pop culture
Kentucky
moments.
Kentucky was referenced in one of the biggest pop culture moments.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's
Kanye
crazy.
And Jay-Z watch the throne. I mean, but for them, they were a part of the zeitgeist, whatever you want to call it, the main culture that it was at the time. I mean, Kentucky basketball was a part of it in the same way like a Fab Five was a part of it, right? I mean, that is the level of cultural impact. And Cal was spearheading the effort. He was the leader of the pack. And like, as he kind of built up these rosters, even when they lost in the Elite Eight with the John Wall team, Kentucky fans, I felt like, gave him a pass because they were like, we had so much fun. And it's okay. Like, we're going to be back. You know what I mean? We know we're going to be back. 2012, it was like, finally, we got to that benchmark. Now we see the path. Now we see the vision. 2015, it was like, oh my God. I mean, when does it end? Like, the spoils be damned. I mean, he was, I mean, at that point, it was gluttonous, you know? Yeah. And I think he almost, to his own fault, like, we always joke about Icarus too close to the sun. Like, that was Calipari, like, trying to be like, I'm so good. I have 10 5-stars on my team. And I swapped them out 5 for 5. That's how good we are. We play too big. Like, all this sort of stuff. Like, his philosophies were put to the test. And then when that failed, then Kentucky fans, who are very smart basketball fans, say, wait a second here. Like, are we getting away from Kentucky basketball, the Kentucky identity? And then it felt like the next 7, now 8 years has been a fight between both parties, where Big Blue Nation is an entity that exists outside of John Calipari. John Calipari exists outside of Big Blue Nation. So you have these two juggernaut brands that were once in rowing in the same direction. Now they're at odds with each other. They're competing against each other. Now they're like, wait a second, we're first priority here, not you, Cal.
Well, that was an issue from the beginning. I mean, he had a quote where he said that, you know, this is the greatest day in the history of Kentucky basketball. And I remember Dan Issel specifically said, that's just unbelievably stupid. And it was like funny to have like alumni come out. Another thing Cal did a good job is he mobilized the alumni in a way that hadn't happened in a while. Suddenly everybody's coming around and is like, yeah, it's like, God damn, this thing is pretty cool. You know, we got all these guys.
Tayshaun Prince is coming back.
Turns
Rondo,
out we've had some good players at this school, and it was the vibes were really good. But you know, you're talking about that being an issue. I think it was an ongoing one. So like, if he always, I think, knew in his mind the trade-off was, you know, the NBA thing, if we promote that, as we'll get the good players here and then they'll win and they'll be quiet, basically. But when it became obvious that, like, and I think something that hurt too is like, guys were leaving here and performing better, which is going to happen. I mean, when you're not going to see guys in 1 year totally blossom and become the best versions of themselves. Very, very rarely.
The one that did was Anthony Davis. And that's why I think his year there was so impactful in general. You know what I mean? Especially when you realize who was around him. Like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at the time was looked at a lot differently than he is now, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Anthony Davis was kind of this one supernova in the world of Calipari, and exactly what you needed in college basketball, like that stretch five that is just like the ultimate defensive rim protector that changes everything. And that was like the one person, I think, that was his North Star, where he could see the vision there. And then slowly but surely, Kentucky fans are like, a second round exit, a first round exit, a first round exit, right? That's the last 3 years, basically.
That's the fast forward. Yeah. I think it pivots there where you're talking about. I think it pivoted there at 15. So like, that's what I was going to say, that like, you know, you come out of the 15 and the 16 year, it's kind of like, we'll give you a pass on that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Scal was misevaluated, all that stuff. They, you know, and then, you know, 17, they probably, we were talking about this. I think 17 was the last year when it was like rolling. Lost to you guys on a shot that I think whoever won that game was going to win the title.
Yep.
And that was a super fun team. And you have some reason to believe that, okay, hope's still alive. And then 18, 19, 20, you stop. I think another thing that shifted too is like Cal wasn't, you talked about the clutch thing. He no longer was like Zion in 2010 or 2012 was going to Kentucky.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum, maybe not, but like those top five guys, he just kind of stopped hitting on those guys. And I think to win on the level that he wanted to with young players, you can't really do it with a group of like, you know, 10 to top 30 guys. Like it just, it wasn't as happy.
It has to be like a top five, like changes the bottom line of a game, like Anthony Davis, like Zion, even Towns. Jahlil Okafor, you know, for Duke was one of those guys as well.
At the college level, that he translated. He hit a wall. But
Right. Didn't translate to the next level. But I just think that, you know, with Kentucky and the branding and Nike diversifying their portfolio, so to speak, like once Coach K was like, I now do this as well, I think that also played a part in the whole Nike, you know, diversification of funds. And then Calipari's like, wait a second, I'm the main show in town. What's happening here?
Yeah.
And then that creates its own friction.
Well, that's when we shift into a different era. You know, he loses another thing. You start to have this, like the successes of that first era cause coaches to start to go, you know, you lose John Robick, who was his bench guy, his prep guy, who was like really kept Cal like in check in terms
basically
of
basically X's and O's, which is like the one blind spot that Cal always gets is he's just a recruiter. He's not a good in-game coach, which is exaggerated to a certain extent, but he needs guys that are X and O's guys to help him out sometimes, which is what Greg Campy kind of exposed, right? This year in the tournament, to poetically tie it all together, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think Cal is a salesman of ideas, and I think you need to have people like that, but I think you also need to have the ideas behind you like that are solid, you know. And I think there's a lot of we talked about, you know, in that era of 15, you know, that he starts losing his staff, and that's also happening when, and you know, basketball's changing, as we know, you know, like 2015 to 2018, college basketball in the analytic era really, really responded to what was happening in the NBA. We'd already seen teams on the fringes hunting the three and playing that, teams that had less talent were being experimental and playing sort of like the spread offense thing in college basketball. But he just didn't respond to that and kept kind of continuing on his mode of, and you even saw it in the way that he would use players, which would be frustrating. Like guys who were like obvious dribble shooters, like a Tyler Hero, a Jamal Murray. I mean, it happened over and over again. I'm trying to think, Ty Washington, even like these guys who could shoot and score off the ball, but they weren't these super fast transition blitz you point guards that he loved. And so we enter this area where he's not adjusting to that well. He's kind of peppering it in a little bit, but he's still recruiting non-shooting point guards like Xavier Wheeler. And I think you just end up in this this era here where it starts to feel, to me, the like death rattle was when he went and was like, we got to get Orlando Antigua. And Chin Coleman came along with that to my
From chagrin. Illinois.
But yeah, and to me, that was, I'm desperate to get the mojo back. And I think desperation was a big theme of the end of the Cal era. And then when you saw, so he was already kind of, you probably heard this, maybe not, but like he was criticized for being too tense in big games before that, even during the Golden era.
Yeah, right.
So then when you get into this era where he doesn't have this trump you talent and he's still, and you're starting to become desperate in games, you have less talented teams that are desperate because their coach is tight. So I think that's why you start to see what happened. And I think he got up sort of to the top of the mountain, and the climbing cow was scrambling to sort of maintain. And those are just different energies, like I always say. And I think that's how we ended up here. And I think a separation was the best way to go, because the fans are just, they're done with it, man. They want to hear it anymore. They don't believe in the vision.
To live two lifetimes at Kentucky as the head basketball coach is an accomplishment in and of itself. 15 years at Kentucky with sustained success, with a national championship, with Final Four appearances, with every five-star recruit you could ever imagine. It is a success. But does Calipari, like the way that Patino is revered, he kind of left before they could fall out of love with him.
Yeah.
Can Calipari, like, do we see a world in which 5-10 years down the road, like, Calipari's coming back to Lexington and Big Blue Nation's like
100%.
Okay.
100%.
I think that's the real question. I think, I'm sure Cal even has that in the back of his mind where he's like, will they still love me?
He wants to be loved. He likes to be loved. Right. I think we know that. I think
as a lot of people do.
We all love him. Yeah.
But, you know, I think he can come back. And I think Rick is proof that, like, Rick is sort of the boundary for that of like what's possible, because, mm-hmm. you know, he came back and like flipped Kentucky fans off. He became the ultimate villain. Right. I've said over
had
and
the
over.
Rival. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least he's not going to Louisville, I guess. I floated that as a joke, but yeah, that was.
Well, you know, I was joking on Twitter. I was just like, Cal's going to. So let's talk about just kind of what going forward is going to happen, right. You know, assuming the deal. Now, I will say that I've heard just some, I don't know if these are like solid confirmed, but I've had some conversations with people who have told me that maybe Cal had a little bit of a back and forth with Mitch about, you know, hey, you know, this is out there, but like if you do this and this and this,
I can stay, be swayed,
yeah. Which is sort of the disconnect, I think, where he thinks that people, I don't think he realized how out people were.
He like, wanted to be wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Kentucky in that scenario would just be like, you know, F off basically.
Right.
We don't want you back. So going to Arkansas, you know, there's reports that he's going to have a gigantic NIL, you know,
$5 million, $6 million
tailwind. Yeah, like, yeah. So
Tyson Chicken pays.
Yeah, I was gonna. Do you want to go buy? I was gonna go buy some Tyson Chicken. If
yeah,
you,
right.
I feel like the Tyson Chicken sales are going to spike in Kentucky this weekend. So he's going there.
Hi, I'm John Calipari, and I love Tyson Chicken. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
And I'm Kyle Mann, and I'm loving that he loves Tyson Chicken. I'll be in the commercial. Good for you, Cal. No,
thanks,
so,
Coach.
So going there, I think he can come back, and I think he will come back. It'll be fine. It needed to happen. I think both parties will be happy at the end of the day, and I think he's gonna have some talented teams. How much he'll win, you know, the conference is harder. It's gotten harder and harder, like over the past decade. He'll have talent there, I don't doubt.
And fan support, and he'll have, it looks like, alumni support. I mean, Jerry Jones, I mean, I joke about it, but it does feel like Jerry Jones, Bill Clinton.
Oh, when's the first Clinton picture coming?
Oh, it's coming ASAP.
Cal, we are so happy to have you.
He might start a podcast with Bill Clinton. I mean, for all we, I mean.
Winning. The winning podcast with Bill Clinton. This right. is perfect. Yeah,
it'll be good stuff. I mean, I think Cal at Arkansas is going to be fun. I think that Eric Musselman kind of broke the seal. Sleeping Giants is always a theme. I mean, Arkansas was a sleeping giant. Musbus goes there. He taps into that source. They're back into the fold. And I think Calipari can just take what's already in place and kind of ride with it. He's going to get talent there, as we know. It's going to be awkward, I think, for Malik Monk, who obviously is from Arkansas.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Good
decided
call,
to go
Tate.
To Kentucky, and now he's going to go back to Arkansas to see Calipari. So
Well, for Malik in particular, I guess that's going to heal some wounds.
I think you guys might keep Malik Monk at Kentucky. He's like, yeah, I don't want to go back to that. Okay.
Well, maybe you're right. I mean, it might be the opposite effect. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's that's going to be an interesting thing to watch, is how his alumni sort of respond to that. It can kind of take time, but you know, Kentucky's bigger than any one era of, like, you know, it stinks that they're not going to be able to capitalize on this generation that's growing up with these guys that are in the league. But you know, they did it there. That platform helped them, and I think you can make that argument. And
still says Kentucky on their chest when they show the highlights, even if they're at an Arkansas game.
True,
so
true.
I think that'll play a part of the new era of Cal. So we talked about Cal. Cal's going to Arkansas. Congratulations to Coach Calipari. Let's talk about Kentucky, because that is a big story. I mean, Blue Bloods, when those jobs open up, it is a large conversation. We get crazy names that are thrown into the mix. North Carolina opened up a couple of years ago with Roy Williams. They stay in-house. They hire Hubert Davis. Duke opens up with Coach K retiring. They stay in-house. They hire John Shire. So to have Kentucky back open, the last time we got the hottest coach in America, John Calipari, who had just coached Derrick Rose in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. So Kentucky got the top guy. And you assume that we're going to be in a world where they're going to get the top guy. So I made a little list, and we can kind of run through some names. But the shoot for the stars, which is if you're a blue blood, you can shoot for the stars, right? Rick Pitino is one of the... He is a star.
I walked right into that.
He is a star, and I think he is out there. I don't think he would. I think he would entertain a phone call. I think if
yes,
you're Mitch,
he would entertain it. He'd be like, "Yes,
Is that Lexington, Kentucky? Is it Camelot? Is the round table still there?
Yeah. Is my seat still warm?" Yeah,
I think Rick Pitino is a call that you have to make if you're doing your due diligence. But let's get into some realistic options here. We're shooting for the stars. Dan Hurley is coaching in the national championship, looking for back-to-back national championships. Dan Hurley is a UConn guy. He had a five-year plan. The five-year plan has been executed to perfection. He is the hottest coach in America right now, similar to a John Calipari, but he's already in at a blue blood slash new blood. Is Dan Hurley the first call that Kentucky makes?
I think so. I think you kind of have to have buckets of like, well, due diligence, obviously. Like, if you went circle back and
you're not
found
doing
out,
your job if you don't call Dan Hurley and say, if we double your salary and you come to a blue blood, how do you feel
well,
about
15
that?
$15 million is the reported salary for Cal, and it's right. Like I was looking it up, that'd be $10 million more. He got like a $1 million bonus just for getting in the championship game. Him making $10 million more than Hurley at this point is I think more of a nod. It's more the Kobe legacy nod to
exactly
the past than
it's
what
like what is your name?
Yeah,
yes, you get
exactly
paid.
So yeah, I think you make some of those calls just because you don't want to end up in that situation where years later you're like talking with the person who is like, oh, I liked you. Why didn't you ask me out? You know, that kind of thing. Like, but, you know, speaking to, and, you know, this is all just kind of like rumor mill kind of stuff that we've heard from accounts. I know you've heard this too, that, you know, Hurley is a guy who is hungry to climb. Like, I don't know that he's necessarily going to like put a ring on it for life with any one school. And we've heard that, you know, he does have ambition to just like go to the next thing, that he kind of is like the guy who just goes from planet to planet and saves the day. So I think that he would work. I think his energy would be, it feels a little maybe aggressive for Kentucky. It fits the chippiness of the UConn brand really, really well.
Yeah.
But I think...
But we've seen coaches before, like, go to a different place. And I think Calipari will do this as well. But, like, the tune changes. Still the same song. Still the same dance. But the tune changes. You know what I mean? So I could see Dan Hurley, if push comes to shove, being able to speak, you know, bluegrass to Big Blue Nation if he needs to.
Yeah, I wonder if his, like, patience... Because I think that he would be a little more frank in situations, whereas Cal is a little more lovingly, whimsically
which
political.
Is kind of the Southern way is to, you know, bless your heart. You know,
it's the Frank Underwood, like, bless your heart. You know, that's kind of like... Cal kind of could do that. Yeah. He could play that game. But I was going to say, too, that, like, it would shock me if... Speaking of not putting a ring on it, like if Hurley, let's say in some scenario, did do that and he took that, he took that call and took that job, I feel like he's going to be on his way to the NBA at some point. I don't know. Doesn't he seem like one of the guys who really might still do that? There's another guy on this list who will too, I think. But
I think Dan Hurley is a guy that, like you said, I think ambition is at play. But I do think that UConn, if he wins back to back, you know, he feels like he submitted himself. And it's like, do you want to ride off that and be the greatest ever at UConn? Who knows? We'll see where he lands. But next in the shoot for the stars, Billy Donovan is a name that is going to get thrown out there. Billy Donovan was the last coach to repeat. He did it at Florida. He's with the Chicago Bulls, talking about NBA. But
that's an issue, though. Like, the timing there is a big issue, I think.
Exactly.
Even if he did want it, would be a problem.
You have to wait. So, shooting for the stars, Billy Donovan's on the list. Jay Wright is on every list. Jay Wright is not someone I see going to Kentucky. But I do like when you talk about shoot for the stars, everyone's like, you got to call Jay Wright. Make Jay Wright say no.
He's on the list.
Yeah, he's just like, no, I like being on TV. See you guys later. Brad Stevens is the name that will get thrown out there. He's like, should I leave the Boston Celtics and go
where
to
I've
Kentucky?
Where I have an incredible organization and talent that's going to be good for several years.
You have to
let me consider going to this highly scrutinized college basketball town.
You
and
have to make
kids.
The call, Kyle, man. You have to make the call.
Make them say no. We're going to make you say no.
Make them say no.
No.
Next up on the list, Dusty May. He made a decision maybe too soon. Dusty May, make him say no. You call him at Michigan. He's like putting up pictures finally in his office. And he's like, wait a second. What's going on?
I don't know that Kentucky's he would have gotten open. Any anyway. Yeah. I thought in terms of like Louisville's options, I know they wanted a certain name, but they didn't have the... Love you, Louisville fans, but they didn't have the sort of cachet to like move somebody out of an existing situation because of their buyout stuff. But like May, I didn't feel like was right there. I felt like Kentucky's probably in that one tier of like name, but also still young and hungry and also still innovative. And there's only a short handful of guys. I don't know. I don't think Kentucky, as much as May is a good coach, and I believe
it wasn't a culture fit. I don't think
it was going
to
work.
Right. Yeah. Last two Shoot for the Stars names that they have to say no. You have to call him Pat Riley, Kentucky alum. You have to call him. He's been itching to coach.
I'm pissed. Let's get
Spoelstra took his seat. He's like, I should have stayed on the bench. He's regretting it every day. And he's thinking, I can come back and build a winner. And he can show everyone what Kentucky basketball is really about. So Pat Riley, make him say no.
I love the idea of Pat Riley wandering around the Joe Graff Center with like the calipers to measure fat and be like, get on the fucking treadmill.
Right, buddy. Right. Yeah. We run here at Kentucky. Win, lose, or draw, we run. Last name that you have to call, Shoot for the Stars, Dawn Staley. She's going to be a name that is thrown out at every high major job. Make her say no. Why can't she coach Kentucky into the future? So those are the Shoot for the Star candidates.
I want to be clear. We're laughing just because she wouldn't. Yeah, obviously she could do it. She definitely could, but she said
multiple times, like, I will not coach the men. I do not want to coach the men. Please stop asking me the question.
And there's hilarious and there's hilarious condescension from men saying, right, like, we've talked about we got to validate you through our game. It's like
the Charlotte Observer just wrote a recent story that was basically like, the only way the Hornets can move forward is hiring Dawn Staley. And Dawn Staley was asked about it. She was like, no. Defiantly no. So Dawn Staley, you have to make her say no. Realistic options. Let's start here. We talked about it before on the show. You and I have been kind of in on the idea. Scott Drew is the head coach at Baylor. Scott Drew won the national championship in 2021. Scott Drew has already reached the mountaintop at Baylor. He is, you know, going to be remembered as the greatest Baylor basketball coach of all time. He's always been sitting there for Mitch Barnhart, two Baptist boys that love ball. You know, you and I can relate to that. We know how it goes.
Man, Baptist boys who love ball, for sure.
Four and a half should be
the name of this show. What were you thinking?
Two Baptist boys that love ball. $4.5 million buyout. That is not bad. That is better than paying $33 million to fire John Calipari. That's better than, you know, talking about another guy buyout. Nate Oates is $20 million buyout. So Scott Drew, I think, is first on the board, realistic option. How do you feel about that?
He's been connected to Mitch for a while. And if you listen to people who know the situations at both programs, there's been interest on both sides. Going back a few years, that like he fits with Mitch's values, as we know, and he seems like a guy. I guess you kind of run the risk of wondering, like, where is he in his career? Is he still on the upward trajectory and hungry and climbing? And like, you know, stylistically, what's he going to bring to Kentucky? What kind of talent is he going to bring to Kentucky? I feel like he would do really well, but I get the sense that I feel like that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If I had to guess. But
I think that's like why he's so graciously bowed out of Louisville.
Yeah.
Because there was always, I think, a big picture plan. And he's here. We're here at the Final Four. Scott Drew is in town. And I said to you the other night, when it was all kind of, feels like a long time ago now, but when it was all kind of coming out, I was like, I wouldn't be shocked if Scott Drew's on a plane to Lexington, you know, from the Final Four. Like, if you're a flight tracker guy, which sometimes I like the flight tracker.
It's fun.
There's got to be a flight from Phoenix to Lexington that someone's going to find.
There's a nonstop to Louisville. It's just over 3 hours. I'm doing it tomorrow.
Well, if Scott Drew's on your flight, then we'll know that something's happening.
He'll be up in Business Select on Southwest with me, and we can share a beer and talk about the Lord.
Nice chat. Scott Drew, we have odds, right, to be the next Kentucky head coach. He's plus 450. He's the second favorite. Favorite to be the head coach of Kentucky, the hottest name in the SEC. We just saw him first Final Four for Alabama, Nate Oates. Again, $20 million buyout. That is reported. $18 million is what it says in his contract that I found online, but $20 million is what they're reporting. I don't know if they're rounding up or there's some sort of incentives or whatever it is. But regardless, Nate Oates is an interesting character. Nate Oates, arguably, you could say, is the hottest name in college basketball. He or Dan Hurley, and it's funny that Dan Hurley put him on. What would Kentucky do? They pay $20 million for Nate Oates, I guess is the question.
Okay, here. You notice how I did the Matt Foley adjust my pants move there to hopefully make a point. Yeah, like, if you talk to people who really, really follow, like, I feel like the real sicko basketball people within the fan base are almost unanimously Nate Oates, mainly because he's at that perfect, we'll talk about the money in a second. He's in the perfect spot of his career where he's young. He still has some things. He's been around a little bit. He's proven it at every single level. He goes to the Final Four with a team that's not even his best. I don't even think that's where does that team rank in the rankings of his best teams?
I know. Even, like, it's I guess it would be top five, obviously, because of the success.
But not the best.
Right.
Yeah, so, but he builds Alabama into like a legitimate team to be, and they've had a ton. They've had more success in conference than Kentucky has lately. The thing about, and he would bring a style. We know that he's like a, he is forward thinking. He's open to new ideas, and he has
layups and threes.
He has a sassiness to him, though. Like, his staff,
caught out
he curates.
Coach Gay. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that could go over pretty well, and he's pretty funny and wry in a way more than Cal's more like outward bravado. I think in terms of the money thing that you mentioned, the $20 million, the thing that's shifted is when the people who have money don't like the guy who's trying to like get out, suddenly the money's not available, you know. And then since now that he's gone and there's the potential to bring in new blood, because that's the key thing too that we didn't talk about, is like Cal alienated almost everyone at Kentucky in terms of the fan base and the boosters and stuff like that. So that money would be more available, I think, if Nate Oates were a real option. We keep hearing mixed things. I have heard personally from pretty solid sources that he would want that job. Obviously. But like whether or not it's going to happen, I think it's going to come down to that buyout.
I think he's put a message out to some people to make sure that people know that he does not want that job, which to me signals that he does want that job. You know what I mean? Like if you put out like, I don't want that job, if you're putting anything out in reaction to it, I think there is more smoke.
I'm very confident that he wants the job.
I don't know why he wouldn't want the job. If I'm Nate Oates, I am definitely kicking the tires on taking that job, because I go to a basketball blue blood in a conference I already know, and I know I can take it to the next level. Another guy in the conference who is, I have him listed under reaching out to Kentucky personally or via his agent, Bruce Pearl, is the third best odds to be
the
head
coach. What
are you
doing, Bruce? What's going on? Hey, what are you up to?
Mitch, long time.
Just calling to you're calling about the job.
Oh my god, that happened.
Bruce.
I did not see that. Bruce Pearl is another guy in the SEC, knows the SEC, knows how to win, has an identity, would rip his shirt off at a Kentucky football game in a second, would support Kentucky football and do the whole thing. He knows what he's doing. So Bruce Pearl is in the mix. I don't really see Kentucky going down that route, but he is a name that'll be thrown out. Mark Few is a name that'll be thrown out as well. Mark Few is a $0 buyout. He's one of the top coaches, obviously built a program at Gonzaga. His name was thrown out for Carolina. He reached out with interest for Carolina, but you know, nothing was submitted there. Shaka Smart's another name that's been thrown out. Mick Cronin, Sean Miller, Mark Pope, Shaheen Holloway, TJ Otzelberger, and my favorite, Kevin Keats, are all names that I've seen thrown out. Of that group, I do feel like it's a two-man race, Scott Drew, Nate Oates.
I think so, too. It's got to be one of those two. I think anything less and people are going to be disappointed, unless there's somebody kind of on the fringe that that we're not thinking of. It's just not even – but I don't even – you know, like I just don't see people like getting behind the Few thing, and I don't see that. I would if I were Few. You get the perfect situation, and he's the coach.
He's got
K
a private plane.
He's
got a chartered plane that Gonzaga has, where they fly anywhere and play anyone. And he doesn't have that same setup at any other school, so I can't see him doing that. These are some more guys reaching out to Kentucky. You talked about fringe guys. Chris Beard is a name that Arkansas, you know, tossed around. Obviously, was one of the hottest coaches in college basketball, kind of off the beaten path. Will Wade is another name that I think Will Wade's agent has reached out to Kentucky as we're talking to each other right now. That has happened. Bob Huggins has thrown his hat in the ring. He says, I can coach. I can coach that team.
I'm available.
He's like, I can coach those Wildcats. Let me tell you. And then the last one that is willing to throw his hat in the ring and is available, readily available, and they have great pictures and photos from the past. Kenny Payne is available.
Well, the Photoshop crew would be, you know, they'd save a little time.
Kenny Payne has called Kentucky and said that he is willing to take down Louisville for the good of UK.
Well, so that's he already did that. He was our plant, our Manchurian, whatever. Well, what do you think about Cal in that red, man? That was jarring.
Looks good.
Wasn't it?
It goes best. I saw Fran Fraschilla talking about this. He was like, I need Cal to go back to his UMass days where it's like you bring in the blue collar underdog. I do think there's going to be a hint of that where Calipari is like, I don't have to bring in the top 10 guys in the ESPN top 100. And I do think that makes him a little bit scarier.
I think he likes, I told you all this.
Like these are going to be some JUCO like superstar that he finds out of nowhere. And
Cal
is like
wants
dropping
the
20 points. Yeah.
Yeah. Cal wants the kids that like will shiv you in the back in the prison yard. Right. Like he's like, I don't think that his preference is kids who have played indoors all their life with a trainer. He wants the kid because that's where he came from. And he talks about that all the time. That's
outdoor basketball camps.
That's what he loves.
Getting in fights,
you know, holes in his shoes. That's his thing. I think it had to happen. I'm kind of just like, looking forward and just I'm looking forward to whatever's next, because it was going to be bad this year, because I think like we don't have to get into the whole details of it, but when you look forward, they came out and kind of made a stance of support and stuff like that. But for him to build the team he was going to have to build, he'd already committed himself to six freshmen who are not as good as the freshmen he had this year. Mm-hmm. I realized we were boxed in immediately, like as soon as the buzzer went off. I tweeted that on that night they lost to Elgin, because like, I was
next
like,
year's not going to be better, right?
No, and I think they were going to be in a tough situation with serving a lot of masters.
Yeah, I think Cal knew that. One last thing, just in general, the coaching carousel, this all started because of SMU's athletic department saying, we want Andy Enfield. A lot of people have given some gripe this year. Why'd you talk so much about USC basketball? USC basketball was the first domino that led to John Calipari leaving Kentucky. So just think about that. SMU, welcome to the ACC. Big moment for you guys. You guys started a crazy train that we got to. And now Kentucky, we get the most interesting search in college basketball. And it's a great fodder. And we got the national championship game tonight. Anything else, Kyle, man? And then we can get prepared for watching these two giants play each other.
I'm going to be processing a lot here as we watch this game tonight. It's going to be wild, I think, over at the arena. It's going to be Scuttlebutt City, basically.
Scuttlebutt City. You could be watching Kentucky's next head coach tonight.
Potentially.
Matt Painter.
We watched him this weekend, you know. It's crazy that this is happening on this night.
But, yeah.
Yeah, stay tuned. We're going to cover it.
Kevin Keats, he'll look good in blue. I do like it. Appreciate everyone tuning in. We'll be back after the national championship game. We will be doing our rapid reactions, and we will talk to you then. Thanks again to our friends at FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.